I want to first start, before I start the sermon, by saying a thank you. It's the beginning of the year, and we're starting to come out of our holiday season, getting ourselves ready for school, etc., and getting the year really going. But you know, there are so many people in this church that need to be thanked for all they do. And I'm not going to mention them by name, because I might leave somebody out. But really, the people that do our finances, the people that come and open and close the church, the people who clean the church, the people who stand at the door and welcome you at the back, the people who work on the media, the sacristans that set up the communion table, the readers, the lay ministers. Oh, there are so many. And I just want to, at the beginning of this year, say a very, 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 very big thank you to all of those who do so much to keep our church active and rolling and pursuing and moving forward. Thank you very much. And then to those of you who pray, please pray every day for your church. Pray for St. Michael's. Pray for that God would move in our midst. God would lead us in the direction that he wants us to go, not the way we want to go or anybody else wants us to go. So thank you, and thank you. Continue praying for our church. At the end of last year, my sermon was staying on the path that God sets. And then I started a series, which I'm busy on the moment. Last week we spoke on seasons. Every one of us has a season in our life. Just remember that. Every one of us has a season in life. You know, God created four seasons, but you will have many, many seasons in your life. Some of them will be up seasons, and some of them will be down seasons. Some will be good times, and some will be bad times. But God is in all those seasons. He walks with you all those seasons. Sometimes we don't even realize that he's standing right beside us as we go through those seasons in life. And as I said last week, a farmer plants in one season, but he reaps in another season. So remember that this morning. You might plant in one season, but you'll reap in another season. So this morning, my theme is, God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Now in the next 10 or 15 minutes, I'm not going to be able to really find out all your purposes in all your life. You've got to look for that purpose. You've got to find what God is saying to you about your purpose in life. So I just want to introduce you to what God is really saying to us, that you do have a purpose in your life. And near the beginning of 2024, that you will find that purpose from God in your life. And my key verse this morning is from the Living Translation, from 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, says, that is what is meant by scriptures, which says that no mere man has ever seen, heard, or even imagined what wonderful things God has ready for those who love him. So the beginning of this new year, you have a season, and now you must find out and look for your purpose in life. Where exactly are you at this time in your season, and what is God saying to you about his purpose for you? I'd like to start with two quotes. You know, I love quotes. And so two quotes from two pastors and an author. Francis Chan, you might have read some of his books. He's a Chinese-American pastor who closed his mega church in America and went to Hong Kong and planted a church in Hong Kong because he felt that was God's purpose for him in his life. And he said, it's crazy if you think about it. The God of this universe, the creator of nitrogen and pine needles, galaxies, and E minor music, loves you with a radical, unconditional, self-sacrificing love. And what is your typical response? We go to church, sing songs, and we try not to swear. J.R. Tolkien said, and he was the author of Lord of the Rings, I'm sure some of you read those or your kids have read the Lord of the Rings. He said, and he's a committed Christian by the way, the chief purpose of life for any of us is to increase according to our capacity, our knowledge of God by all means we have, and to be moved by it to praise and thanks. The chief purpose of life for any of us is to increase according to our capacity, the knowledge of God, by all means we have, and be moved by it to praise and thanks. One of the biggest questions is not, what is my purpose for this life? But the biggest question is, what is God's purpose for your life? Are you confident that you know and are fulfilling the purposes within your life? I trust you are, but not everyone is. In our chaotic and unsettling world, it's sometimes hard to understand how God's purposes are being worked out in our lives. Whatever your situation, in the midst of confusion, fears, anxieties, and distractions of this present world, all of us can benefit from a firmer and more confident knowledge that God is indeed working His plans out for each and every one of us. Now let me begin by reminding ourselves that the God of the Bible is a God of purpose. And not just general purpose, but specific purposes. He is the supreme, long-term, strategic planner of the universe. He does nothing randomly or in any haphazard manner. His purpose extends from eternity past to eternity future. Encompasses not all the ultimate destiny of His creation, but our personal lives as well. Purpose in life is far more important than property and possessions. Having more to live with is not a substitute to having more to live for. It is said that the two greatest days of your life is the day you were born and the day you find out why. In 2002, Rick Warren wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, this book. Purpose-driven life. I'm sure many of you had it, probably worked through it at some stage or other, which became the best non-fictional book of all times, beside the Bible, the best non-fictional book of all times, within a few months. A book I would have loved to work with you through Lent, but that's not to be. The royalties he made from this book allowed him to cancel his monthly salary from his Saddleback Church in America, live on only 10% of the royalties, and give 90% back to his church for further growth. At the very same time, his wife was discovered that she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and so they had to work through the success of his book and also her illness. And 10 years later, his son of 27, Matthew, committed suicide after a long battle with mental illness. Was this God's purpose for Rick's life? Definitely no. But because Rick knew the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ in his life, he was able to work through the battles and to overcome. It was a long battle for him and his wife. They had to survive the ups and emotional ups and downs of the result of all these things that were happening in their lives. Through that, God came through for them and led them to open and finance orphanages and creches in Rwanda as part of their church's missionary outreach. Rick himself said, and I quote, "The way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel influences the way you act." The way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel influences the way you act. Psalm 139 we read today is the focus, what I'm really trying to say to you this morning. God's calling for all of us is to be known by Him and to know Him. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me, verse 1 said in Psalm 139. Perhaps this was David's reflection in his old age and how God had guided him through his life. He said, "You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me," in verse 5. And this speaks of God's love and gentle hand pressing him along the path that God had chosen for David. You cannot escape God's presence. He knows everything, verse 2. And he knows, and he's everywhere, verse 7 to 10. Look to him for guidance. Verse 10 says, "Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Now here's the truth. Christianity is not a religion or philosophy, but it is a relationship and a lifestyle. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ and a lifestyle that He leads us into. And the Christian life is more than creeds and convictions. It includes conduct and character. When you and I walk in a good relationship with Jesus, living a good, clean lifestyle, think of others before ourselves as Jesus did, watching our conduct and bettering our character, believing the promises that God has given us, then you and I promise, will receive clear and brighter futures in Jesus. We will hear the still voice of the Holy Spirit guiding us at our work and at our play. My dear people, the truth is, we become what we are committed to. We become what we have been committed to. In closing, Colossians 1 verse 16 in the Message version says, "For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Jesus and finds its hope in Jesus." Robert Schuller, another American pastor, said, "Anyone can count the seeds in the apple, but only God can count the number of apples in a seed." I'd like to conclude with a poem which I came across as I was preparing this talk this morning. Russell Kelfer says, "You are who you are for a reason. You are who you are for a reason. You're part of an intricate plan. Your precious and perfect, unique design, call God special woman or man. You look like you look for a reason. Our God made no mistake. He knit you together within the womb. You just were not a mistake. The parents you had were the ones he chose, and no matter how you may feel, they were custom designed with God's plan in mind, and they bear the master's seal. Know that trauma you faced was not easy, and God wept that it hurt you so. But he was allowed to shape your heart so that into his likeness you'd grow. You are who you are for a reason. You've been formed by the master's rod. You are who you are, beloved, because there is a God." Amen.